you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing About Cars. I'm Mickey Desai. Around the table, we've got Dave. How are you, Dave?
Guten Tag. I am well, thank you.
And Ben, who also speaks German. How are you, Ben?
Auf geht's, Eichnitt. I've got my full glass of whiskey here. Just kidding, it's tea.
And Misty, who speaks some German as well. Misty, how are you doing?
Ich spreche kein Deutsch. Ich spreche wel Nederlands. Maar ik ben heel goed. Uitstekend.
Now, is that German or is that Dutch?
That was Dutch.
Ah, I'm close enough. Not educated enough to know the difference here. And our wonderful guest for today, friend who I've actually never met in person, but we've seen each other online a lot, Jennifer. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, but I will correct you on that, Mickey. We met in person at Weird Al last summer.
That's right. We did. Good memory. Holy mackerel. Was that last summer?
That was last summer.
Wow.
Or no, wait, no, it couldn't have been last summer because nobody was going anywhere. Two summers ago.
That's
sorry,
right.
My brain.
Two summers ago. Good grief.
Two summers ago. It was Strings Attached tour.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
That was a wonderful show.
How can you? You've got a fantastic memory. I'm just forgetting everything these days.
I do not have a fantastic memory, but when it pertains to Weird Al, then that is a true statement. And my fourth show. First time I got to meet him after the concert.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, meeting you was exciting, but meeting Weird Al was just a little bit, sorry. But, you know.
Hey, yeah. No.
Weird Mickey, Weird Al.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right. That's good stuff. I remember that night now very clearly. It just seems like a lifetime ago.
It really does.
Yeah. But all right. Well, I'm glad you could be here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to ask our Grand Trivia Auto question now, which we will answer at the end of the show. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
The subject matter here is illuminated box. What is the purpose of this illuminated box found on the parcel shelves of some GM vehicles built in the 60s and the 70s? And I've got a picture here for you that I'm putting up in chat. So can anyone see this image? It's sort of a small rectangular box that's on the rear deck of a car, an unknown car, and it's got some illuminated lights on it in red. And
no, that link just gave me a page on unusual GM accessories.
That's weird.
I've got it. It takes a while for the page to load.
I see it. And now you have the answer to the trivia question.
Yeah, we do. So
I didn't scroll down, so I'm innocent. For
I'm sure
once.
You are. Here, there's the image.
You hurt my feelings. If I had feelings to hurt.
No, I believe you, Misty. I was.
No, you don't. Don't lie to me, man.
It's true. I do believe you.
Oh, so now I see it.
Yep. Little thing with two red dots on it, two red illuminated dots on it. And I'm just going to give you the answer since I screwed everything up already. The question was, what are those things for? And is it a radar safety alert option, which was an early attempt at a Doppler radar detector that illuminated the lights and generated a buzzing sound through rear radio speakers? Was it a low fuel warning light? So the sending unit in the tank would light up the thing and you could see it in your rear view mirror so that you could get gas? Or was it a rear lamp monitoring option that we used fiber optic cables to show the driver that the tail lamps bulbs were properly working? And the answer is rear lamp monitoring. It lit up whenever you stepped on the brake or turn on your lights at night, so you could tell if the rear lights were automatically working. And I've actually seen this in a couple of old GM vehicles.
I've never noticed. Yeah, I was going to say, I've never noticed it, but I would have got it right because I'm familiar with the ones they put on for the front lights.
Uh-huh.
They're little gun sight looking things on the front fenders of, Olds and Cadillacs and things like that.
Right.
I wish they still had those today. That might actually be useful for some people.
Well, they don't put them in anymore because if you want to check your lights, you just check your lights. You just go outside and see what's burning and what's not. And yeah.
I'm sorry. Apparently, I have missed the ability to bilocate, so I can't step on the brake pedal and go out and check my lights at the same time.
No, well, what you do is you back up to something that'll reflect the light.
And now I feel like a complete and utter failure. I'm going to go take a nap. Love y'all.
All right. So here we go. introduced on cars made in the 1980s, a CHMSL, that's the abbreviation, CHMSL, CHMSL, I guess. I don't know if they ever said that or not. What does CHMSL stand for? Is it a cowl hood mounted speed light? Is it a center high mount stop lamp? Is it a composite hood mounted squirter line? Or it is a carbon hydrogen matrix spark plug lead, CHMSL, introduced on cars made in the 1980s. Shall I read those again? Ben's like, no, I know it already anyway.
They're pretty bewildering, actually.
They're pretty bewildering.
I'm actually watching Misty diagram a sentence on, on her whiteboard based on this question. I would suggest you read it again, Mickey.
Sure. So introduced on cars made in the 80s, a CHMSL is, and CHMSL is CHMSL. Does CHMSL stand for carbon hydrogen matrix spark plug lead, composite hood mounted squirter lens, center high mount stop lamp, or cowl hood mounted speed light?
Got it.
Right. So we'll answer that question at the end of the show. In the meantime, I wanted to turn the attention to our friend Jennifer, who has a really compelling car story to tell us. What kind of car was it, Jennifer?
It was a 1994 Ford Ranger.
A truck.
Pickup truck.
Yeah. Yeah. And what made this truck so special?
It had one owner prior to me. I was about to graduate from college. I was starting my senior year working toward my BFA with a concentration in photography, and I needed a reliable vehicle. I've been sharing a couple of different cars with a couple of different people. My brother and I were sharing a Buick of some sort. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was a big boxy brown, very awful car. That's a whole nother story, but I needed a vehicle of my own that was reliable. And my dad just happened to be teaching fire safety courses in Forsyth and met a guy who had a truck for sale. So dad asked if he could come look at it. And of course, you know, he did. And he called me up from this guy's yard and said, so can you drive a stick shift? And I said, I'm a little rusty, but I could get the hang of it. You know, yeah. Why, what you got? Well, I found this truck. I think I'm going to get it. It's not running, but we'll make it work. I was like, okay. So he put it on trailer, drove it from Fort Valley area, or Forsyth. It was Forsyth. That's where the fire academy is. So he drove from Forsyth back to Americus with this truck. I live in Americus, Georgia. It's a very small town, about 3 hours south of Atlanta. And trucks are what most folks have around here. So I got the hang of the stick shift. We replaced the clutch, obviously, for me to do that. And then she was mine. I got insurance tag, everything. And I had about a month before school was starting. It was in July that he gave me this truck 18 years ago. And I decided we had to hit the road immediately. So I needed a road trip and my new girl. And it had a tape deck that was original to the truck. And there was a gospel tape stuck in the tape deck. Oh my. So I couldn't get it out and I couldn't do anything with it. And I refused to listen to it and I couldn't get it to flip to radio. So that was all that was wrong with her. I was okay. So I just turned that off and I had a little boom box with batteries up on the dash, blasting out beach music, everything that I could think of from Sublime to Bob Marley, just what I wanted to hear. And I took off and hit the road and drove 6 hours to St. Augustine. And she got me safely there. And I had a great week with her. And I had a blue cooler in the back that was exact same shade of blue as this Ford blue truck. And nobody stole it. It sat in my truck all week. And I kept thinking somebody's going to steal my cooler. And I don't know why I thought that. But anyway, I got back, started my senior year, and I drove all over the place as many times as I could that first school year with her, not just around America. Every weekend I was running off to see friends in different towns, visiting different, you know, friends that went to Valdosta State or wherever they were. And she was my reliable truck, and she was special because she was the only thing I owned that was mine. I had the title, had my name on it. It was my truck, my girl. She would not give me fits like previous vehicles with transmission issues. I could tell her, you're going to go into third gear right now. You're going to go into fourth gear right now. Like, we're going to hit this and you're going to do this and you're not going to crap out on me. Like, I'd had a Honda Accord that the transmission blew out on me and would not go in reverse. So I always had to be careful where I parked that I could escape the parking spot because reverse didn't work in this car. Blue didn't do that to me. She was reliable. Over the 18 years, I replaced her clutch one other time, new tires when needed, all that sort of stuff, took care of her. I was bouncing from apartment to apartment, but Blue was my consistent girl. You know, I knew if I'd ever owned a home, I at least owned this truck.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm pointing, because I've seen what you posted on Facebook about the truck. I know that this is not a worst car story, which is probably what my colleagues here are expecting.
No, and, this is not a worst car story.
Right, right. This is sort of the opposite of that, if anything. And so what, yeah.
Sorry, I think what got your attention was I wrote this like almost like a love letter farewell post on Facebook to my truck. And Mickey saw that and immediately said, can I get you on the thing about cars? I was like, yeah, okay, why not? Yeah.
Well, and you've already touched on this a little bit, but you know, it was your truck. It was, you made it yours. You and the truck went around everywhere. But you know, is that what made it special? And what happened? You parked her, and why did you park her? And how long did she stay parked?
4 years ago, I was about to pull out of my driveway and go pick up a crib. I was expecting my second child. I needed a crib. I had a friend who had a crib, didn't want it anymore, was giving it to me. The clutch went out just out of nowhere. My foot went into the floorboard and nothing happened. I was, man, you know, I'm not going to make it to the middle of nowhere where this woman lived to get this crib. So I had to park it and thought, I'll get it running again. But as life happens and baby came and I couldn't really drive the truck with my big belly anyway, it was kind of in the way. It's a very small cab in this truck and only so much room between myself and the steering wheel. And when it wasn't safe for me to be in it, I knew I couldn't drive it. So I thought, well, after the baby gets here, I'll get her fixed up again. And just one thing led to another where, you know, either finances or time weren't on my side. And she ended up sitting longer than I meant her to, 4 years. Out in the yard, just resting and getting sadder and making me more depressed every time I looked at her. I started slowly getting my personal things out of the truck after I realized, you know, she'd been sitting there for a year and stuff was sitting out there. Plastic was disintegrating in the Georgia heat, and I collected buttons and my entire headliner was full. I had buttons everywhere, so I had to take all my buttons out and just get all these things. And finally, recently realized it she was beyond my capability of repairing her. It was more than just a clutch and a battery and a starter. And I started looking at all the parts that were just going out, and the tires were flat. And also the bed of the truck was becoming sort of a location for mosquitoes to breed because the water wasn't draining the way it was parked. And called up a couple of mechanic friends, and they said, honestly, they gave me an estimate, and the estimate was not within my budget. And I just couldn't stand to see her sitting there going downhill anymore. So sold her to a friend of my husband's who has a tow company, and he came and towed her away. And that's that. So I don't know if they're going to fix her up and try to auction her off or just auction as is. They have these auctions all the time at these local, you know, little garages. They get so many cars towed into their lot, they have to get rid of them. So they have auctions, and it's usually as is. So they're not going to bother to fix these things up. So somebody may buy Blue and give her another life. And I hope so. And if not, we had a really good long ride minus the last 4 years that she didn't get much attention, but, it saying bye to Blue wasn't just okay, this old truck, and no, it wasn't a classic or anything. It was just my old truck. But saying bye to her was like saying goodbye to a part of my life before I had kids, before I had this title of mom. But you know, when I would still, and even after I had my first son, I would still jump in Blue and take off on the weekends, or if I just had an especially rough day and needed some therapy time that wasn't with my actual therapist, I would jump in my truck and go hit a dirt road and blast music and get out of my head and just blow off steam. And I mean, I don't know how many times I almost flipped the truck because I was going way too fast on an unfamiliar dirt road, and you know, come around a curve and there's a cow, you know. So
whoops.
But I'm sure Blue would have kept me safe. But it happens in the South. And the one wreck she and I had, I was driving home to my apartment, and this guy could not wait to turn going into a gas station, and he cut me off, and I didn't slow down, and I clipped him, and I tore up his plastic junk Mercedes, whatever it was, Mustang something, I don't know. It was a crappy little new car that had all this, you know, whatever. And Blue in her big frame just tore this guy apart. There were pieces of his car all over the road, and I get out and look, and the front right headlight was, it looked like a monster just bitten it out. It was just hanging there, and there were chunks of my beautiful girl in the road, and I was livid. And I asked the guy, you know, you couldn't have slowed down, give me a minute, you just had to cut me off. There's a red light there, so you just, you know, just decided. And so I'm yelling at the guy, and the police show up, and I'm cussing this guy out, and the police are like, you need to back up. It's like, why? You know, I'm about to pummel this dude in the street, and the police look, I advise you not to do that. Found out from the officer that he had just arrested this clown 3 days prior for DUI. He wasn't supposed to be driving. and he had no insurance, and he had no means of even trying to help me out. But in the South, as you probably are aware, everybody's related to somebody. I have a cousin who owns a body shop. So I managed to get my truck in the body shop, brand new everything on the front and fixed up. And
I thought you were going to follow the everything was related thing with saying he was related to the judge and got off scot-free.
Oh, no. His parents promptly came down from Atlanta and removed him from school and took his car and took him home and never saw him again. And the insurance company was never successful with getting anything out of him. But I had uninsured motorist coverage, so my truck did get fixed for only a little bit. I had to pay a little bit to my cousin. But she was mine again, and she was back going on the road. And, you know, I got a little bit mad because they couldn't replace it with some of the exact same things. I had before and after photos, and I was sitting there looking at them going, this girl doesn't look right.
But when you said people, when you said everybody knows everybody, I thought, man, is this guy still alive?
Well, if he is, I was going to volunteer to come over. I've got two bars of Ivory soap and some tube socks over in my bedroom back there.
Our attorneys have just texted me and would like me to reiterate the thing about cars does not endorse random violence.
No random violence.
No random violence.
Random.
Yeah, no, it wasn't random. No, he pulled out in front of me. He deserved it. It was not random violence. It was,
So that said, why stop at the Ivory soap? I've got some large diameter sockets that would go in a sock.
Also, point, and just in case Jennifer doesn't know, I am currently and have been for the past 17 years in the Netherlands, yet I'm still the only Georgian native on the podcast, unless we have a guest.
Oh, interesting.
That's true.
And I'm originally from Rabun County. So
different kind of deep South, but yes.
So I'm going to come in and just, Jennifer, I'm going to totally endorse your love for this truck because we had a 1996 Ford Ranger that, oh gosh, we drove for probably 12 years, 14 years. It was my partner's primary car. And then when he got a company car, it just became the weekend errand car. And he sold it to his work wife 23 years later. You called yours Blue. We called ours Danger Ranger. Danger Ranger is still on the road up in Rome, Georgia. Truck was just bloody indestructible. And I have said this on the show other times. I am a fan of a lot of Ford products. I've never been a fan of Ford's marketing or business strategies. And the decision to stop making that great little utilitarian truck that was perfect for people in college, was perfect for spare, it was perfect for just so many things. For so many years, it was unfathomable to me, unless it was because they had gotten to the point everyone had one and no one was getting rid of them because they were so indestructible.
But Misty gave me a funny look when I just said different kind of South. And and this is going to be a complete derailment here, I know, so let's not spend too much time on it. But deep South in Rabun County is different from deep South in Americas or South Georgia. So
it's completely geographic. You know, I mean, I'm from Rabun County. I used to go rappelling on Mount Yona, which is where the Army Rangers do their training, which was a really funny story. When I was 12 and I was in the medium lanes, and there was a new recruit group in the easy lanes, and there was one guy that was scared of heights, to which the drill sergeant pointed at me and goes, "Little girl can climb." So that's the story of how Misty made a whole troop of wannabe Army Rangers feel really bad and adequate. So we have the mountains and we have the rivers, you know, and then south of Atlanta, it gets a little flat. So, you know, and it's definitely different. But
Jennifer, is south is America's flat?
No, actually, we are known to be the city on a shining hill. Like, that's one of the taglines that some of the well-to-dos use. And I think it's painted on a mural on the side of one of the buildings. And I say I think because there was some talk about redoing it, and I just haven't gone down that way recently to see if it's been painted over or changed. Yeah. But shining city on a hill. And for the longest time, there were all these rumors of you have a town up on a hill like that, then it's safe from tornadoes. For some reason, people believed that. Well, what was it, 2007? We found out how wrong that was when a tornado ripped through here in E4 and took out our hospital, and pretty much half the town was crushed to smithereens. Oak trees that were massive, huge oak trees just completely upside down and in the middle of the road where they weren't supposed to be. And I couldn't get my brother on the phone, and I got in my truck. Again, here goes another Blue story. I drove from my apartment all the way through town, weaving around upside down cars and trees to get to my brother's apartment, where I then banged on his door until he came out and very grumpy, you know, in the morning. He had no idea a tornado had ripped through our town, and he was asleep, and he was going to be getting up within an hour or so to hit the road to go on vacation. And he had no idea. And so I'm banging on the door, and he's, "What's the matter with you? Like, are you okay?" You're like, "Obviously." And I said, "Okay, well, there's a tornado and I'm glad you're alive. I'm going home now." And I turned around and drove Blue back around all the cars and everything upside down and got home because he didn't have power at his place and it was hot, and I had power at my place. And I said, "Well, if you need to come charge your cell phone or put some stuff in my fridge," we didn't lose power like most of the town did for some reason. We were on a separate grid. My apartment was just far enough out from the chaos. But Blue and I have so many stories. I don't even know what all you want to hear, or if anything, or if you just wanted the essence of how, you know, just she defined me for a very long time, and saying bye to her was saying bye to my youth. I'm not that 23-year-old girl that got that blue truck anymore. I am more than just a mom of these two kids, but, you know, I'm going to find some way to find some other little beater that I can call mine and get away for the weekends, because I have a minivan now. What?
Hey, no judgment. There's nothing wrong with that.
No judgment.
I love my minivan. It's a Honda Odyssey, yeah. And I named her Penelope because I'm a nerd and only a handful of people get my joke. So just throwing that out there. So Penelope's my new girl. And so don't tell Blue in case she's still, her spirit of hers listening.
Well, Penelope's. I have two questions about Blue. I don't know if the rest of my gang has any questions for you before I get there. Anybody? No. So did you ever get that gospel tape out of the dash?
Yes. Well, I should say I did not. Someone at Circuit City did when I finally got a new CD player and speakers installed. I think that following year, I saved up some money and I sold some art, and I went and got somebody at Circuit City to rip out the old stuff and put in the new stuff. And
very cool. Very
that,
cool.
Yeah.
And apart from the photo shoot, which caught my eye, did you personally do anything to say goodbye to Blue? Did you like open a bottle of whiskey and pour some on the hood or anything like that? Or
no, I did. I did have a shot of vodka as I watched the tow truck drive her down the street. Sat on the tailgate one last time and sang some songs to myself. I looked through photo albums. I had a good cry. I said farewell, and all week long I've just kind of been thinking of what I was going to say and nervous about being on a podcast that I've only listened to a few times. Honestly, sorry guys. I don't do a lot of podcast listening with my two children. I have to keep track of. I'm homeschooling one, and the other is about to start preschool. So
yeah, don't apologize. It's okay. We're kind of hard to tolerate anyway.
No, you guys are amusing. Yeah, I enjoy it.
We're a lot.
But it was just funny that you, I'm sorry. I'm bad at interrupting people when I'm.
Oh nervous. No, I'm not. I'm the same way, honey. Please don't be nervous. I mean, we put our pants on the same way you do.
No, it's just more about once people again, hearing me.
Yeah. Once again, you're assuming I'm wearing pants.
Yeah. Right? Who's wearing? You're wearing pants? No, there's a dress code.
No, clothing optional podcast for sure.
Very nice.
All right. Well, thank you, Jennifer. I'm glad you could, you know, be our guest on the show today. We are way over time with this segment, so I'm going to rifle through these questions real quick for you. So the question that I first told you about is, what is your dream car?
My dream car would actually be something like a Volkswagen van that I could make art in. I could tootle around in. I could camp in if necessary. Something a little roomier than my minivan, but would still have storage space like my truck did.
Yeah. You mean like a Vanagon, one of those old camper vans?
Something like that, you know, or one of those old hippie buses.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Now, question number two is, where's your next road trip going to be?
My next road trip is going to be probably St. Augustine. It's one of my favorite places. Just such an old, beautiful city with so much history, so much going on there. The beaches are beautiful. And I like to go in late September because most everybody's already back in school and things like that. And it's less crowded. So we're planning on trying to go in September as a family, take the kids and go play on the beach and stuff.
Very cool. Question number three, what's the most fascinating thing you've ever seen on the road or in someone's house or garage?
Oh gosh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think really fast. Probably on the way home from my brother's wedding 10 years ago, I saw Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s hauler on the side of the road in this really small town I can't remember the name of, and had no idea why it was there, but I had to stop and look at it. I was at the time a huge Dale Earnhardt Jr. NASCAR fan. Still am a fan of his personally, but obviously he retired. But I had to get out, and I have a photo of myself standing in front of it, you know, just, you know, so.
Of course, Dale Earnhardt was nowhere to be found, right?
Right. No, right. He was nowhere to be found.
Right. So my super silly random question for you today is, what sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to?
Oh, so many sports that would just be ridiculously dangerous to do that with. curling.
Curling.
There's not already a mandatory amount of alcohol in curling.
There should be. There should be. If it's there's not, there should be. So
just for the spectators, Dave.
That's actually kind of scary because I was also sitting here going, curling would be the sport.
Would be the sport.
Right. Yeah, the bad pants.
You've already got men with brooms, so you know.
I must tell you, we have done this years ago. Our alpha hag hijacked a happy hour with a Uno deck. And so 4 times a year, there's about 20 of us that get together for a mandatory drinking Uno game in a bar near our house. And it is the most foul-mouthed, cutthroat, physically abusive Uno game you've ever seen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Next time I'm stateside,
yeah,
you better invite me.
You're right.
And I will bring my parasol.
Alpha hag. I have never heard the term alpha hag before. That's a new one to me.
Yeah, when you have more than one hag, you got to figure out who's the alpha.
I love it. That's good. All right. So again, thanks, Jennifer, for being our guest today. Let's wrap the rest of the show. I was going to say let's do a cultural collision, but we are so far into this episode. Would anyone be offended if we skipped it and just go straight to Grand Trivia Auto?
I'm constantly offended, so I don't know what difference it's going to make.
And I'm constantly skipping.
I can't skip anymore. I had to sign some environmental regulation around here that said I couldn't do it. So, okay, the Grand Trivia Auto question for this episode is, introduced on cars made in the 80s, a CHMSL, a CHMSL, is a center high-mounted stop lamp? Is it a composite hood-mounted squirter lens? Is it a cowl hood-mounted speed light? Or it is a carbon hydrogen matrix spark plug lead? Jen, as our guest, would you take the first guess?
No, thank you.
I don't believe we've ever had a guest decline to participate before.
Pass.
Jen's taking a pass. Misty, you want to have a go?
Let me look at my chart right quick here. I'm going to go with the spark plug lead thingamajigger, okay. Jigger, hoozy woody.
Spark plug leads. Okay. Ben, what do you think?
I'm going to say the stoplight.
And Dave, what do you think?
As much as I like the idea of hydrogen and spark plugs being combined, I'm going to go with the stoplight also.
The stoplight also. So Misty, any logic for the spark plug answer?
It was actually the least ridiculous of all of them. You know, really firmly grounded in logic here today. I just, you know, I was like,
right,
okay.
Right. Jen, you want to venture a guess now that everyone else has jumped in on this, or do you still pass?
I'm still just going to pass. I'm enjoying being here and listening to you, and that is good for me. I'm not going to try and answer. I have no idea what any of that is.
Well, it's very simple, actually. It is, in fact, the center high-mounted stop lamp, that third brake light that you have on your dashboard or at the top of your windscreen, rear windscreen. That is a CHMSL, and they started becoming mandatory sometime in the 80s. So well done, gentlemen.
To be exact.
That's right. Well done, gentlemen. Good job.
And they come in handy as if you're ever looking at a car that was around in the 80s and you want to narrow down when the car was made, if you see that light, it's an 86 or newer.
That's right. That's right. In fact, that was the next trivia question that I had as a possibility. When did they become required in the US and Canada? And Ben already has that correct. It's 1986.
Well, the next episode is ruined.
Oh, that's okay. I've got 4 or 5 grand trivia questions ready to go in case we happen to hit a dry spell. So
right, good job.
Mickey, you just got black swanned.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Ben basically kneecapped you. He's got grand trivia on in next week.
Oh, I can't think of a better way to get kneecapped. So that's good.
I do have a quick interjection based on Jennifer talking about, you know, wanting one of the old VW microbus type things. And as long as it comes with rakes and shovels and implements of destruction, in 2.5 weeks on the 20th, my husband and I are leaving for 2 weeks in Spain, right outside of Barcelona. We're going to this little bitty teeny tiny boutique adults only hotel. and the pool is on the roof, and the pool bar is inside a VW microbus.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool.
I will definitely be sharing pictures. It's this little teeny tiny. So, Dave, the next time you come to Spain, I have the hotel for you.
You're right.
It's 22 rooms, adults only, Lorette de Mar, rooftop pool, VW microbus bar, pink flamingos everywhere.
Is the bus awesome. Actually in the pool?
No, it's beside the pool.
Okay, thank God, because all I can think of is what that's doing to the pool chemistry.
Yeah, it's the bar, you know, so it has like the little awning, you know, on the side.
I love it.
So I'll give you a full report when I come back on the September 5th.
Cool. So, Misty, just to further delay us on our exit here, why is adults only an important distinction to you?
Because I spent the past 21 years raising my child, and I'm not particularly interested right now in hearing other people's children when I'm by the pool with my book.
There you go.
Jennifer There's approves. She's like, yes, that's right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, I have spent the past 12 years when we started going on family vacations, being locked into the 6-week area, because here in Europe, you get like 6 weeks for summer vacation and everybody goes on vacation at the same time. I think yesterday was Black Saturday and there were close to 200 kilometers of traffic jams in France.
Wow.
Just in France. And so we ended up paying like triple the amount to go on vacation during this time. And our son is now 21. And when he turned 18, I was like, you're legally an adult. I will see you in 2 weeks. If my house is not standing, I will still beat you because I'm your mother. So we've now graduated instead of just a simple 3 weeks in Italy where nobody wants to go to Venice but me. I don't know. To being able to do 4 weeks, 2 weeks in May, 2 weeks end of August, September.
Very cool.
No children.
You know, reflecting on that, I now feel that my childlessness is wasted on not being European.
I have found my childlessness is not wasted anywhere I go. About 15 years ago, Gary and I were in Honolulu climbing up Diamond Head. And we rounded a corner and found ourselves in a pack of probably 30 adolescent, like 13-year-old Japanese girls. And they climbed Diamond Head next to us for like an hour and a half until we finally lost them and looked at each other and said, you know, no matter what the language, what the culture, 13-year-old is just irritating.
Yeah.
I'm 100% willing to admit that from like 14 until about 17 and a half. I mean, I love my son very, very much, even though I almost missed the Super Bowl giving birth. It's a real thing. I did. I mean, I went into labor in the 2000 Super Bowl. That was St. Louis versus Tennessee. Tennessee lost by one touchdown that they missed in the last 25 seconds of the game. How do I know this? I was there in labor. You know, but between those teenage years, I didn't like my son very much.
Hang on, Misty. Next time on The Thing About Cars, we will answer the question exactly how much time Misty spends sober in Spain. In the meantime, thank you for joining us.
Not very much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode as we continue to go way off the rails. We will see you with another episode in about a week. Everybody take care out there and be safe.
Love your kneecaps, brother.
Love y'all.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.